Welcome to the Dungeon Plunger Podcast. My name is Jason Weeb, and this is the show in which I, a real-life janitor and dungeon master, teaches you how to plunge in and run a better Dungeons & Dragons game. Without further ado, let's plunge into this week's episode. Oh yeah! Can you feel it? Yes! That's what I'm talking about, baby. We got this new awesome intro music by none other than Reed Reimer of Fable Factory Studios. That's right, baby. The Dungeon Plunger podcast is moving up in the world. Not only do we got intro and outro music, we got stingers, which I can't wait to share with y'all. And we got some nice chill background music. It's a little creepy. I hope you enjoy it. I really enjoy it. And I think that the show is going to be so much greater just for having it. So thank you so much, Reed. You did a great job. Working with you was fabulous. And if you're looking to get music done professionally for whatever it is, then make sure you hit up Reed. His deets are going to be in the show notes. We got big things happening this week. All right, this week, the youth group got it up. We've started playing Savage Worlds Deadlands, the Suede Edition. We made characters a couple of weeks ago, and last night was the first night that we actually got down and played Deadlands Blood Drive. I had three people that were able to play. One of the players was out on vacation, but he's going to be back soon and we're going to make a character up for him. Everybody's really, really been enjoying the game. This is almost the first time that I've played Savage Worlds. I played a little bit before, like I did a one shot here, but honestly, this was the first time that I really got to sit down and do, you know, a game in a long time using the Suede rules. And I have to say, I know I messed up a lot of things. I went back and I read the rules after the last night's session, and I realized that, yeah, I did some things wrong, but that did not impede the fun. And my players showed up. They all had cowboy hats. I felt a little left out, like maybe I should have had a cowboy hat. And, you know, maybe that's what I'm going to do next time. You know, really go deep into character. Become the marshal. You know, that's what I think. Blood Drive has been very good so far. I got the newest edition of Blood Drive, the one that came with a Kickstarter. It's got a nice hardcover, really well put together little book. And if I had a criticism, I would be that it is a little bit of a linear campaign. However, I would give the caveat that as a learning module, this has been a great introductory module. Things start off pretty chill. The fact that there are fewer options for the characters to like wander off and do things kind of makes it easier to sort of focus on running the game as opposed to like anticipating what the players are going to do. It didn't seem to impede the players' fun and really gave us an opportunity to test out, you know, how to do trait rolls, how to do a combat, how to do initiative, giving out bennies, spending bennies, doing soak rolls and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, you know, criticisms, but that's okay. It's okay. I think I've been really enjoying it and I'm looking forward to continuing along in that campaign, and I'm going to let you guys know every step of the way how things go with that campaign. Also, we got into our first real 4E Twilight 2000 from Free League with the online crew run by Carl D. And I'll tell you something, that was a super duper intense first session that we played. We have three of us and got a call on the radio to help out some fellow servicemen who were under attack by Soviets. And so we moved on the position and eventually found ourselves face to face with a Soviet APC and a bunch of goons. And the fight to take that APC was almost the death of Country. Yeah, that's right. My guy's name was Country. Well, that's his like handle. Anyway, it's been a great game. I've really been enjoying it. And Carl is an awesome DM. Or I guess he's a game master. Use the proper terminology, Jay. Come on, guy. Anyway, tomorrow I end up playing Hunter 5e with my regular gaming group. I'm a little, since my Stars Without Numbers game is on a hiatus for now, we have another person stepping in. I'm not sure if this is going to be a one shot or if we're going to be having a few sessions, but I can definitely use a break from being game master of so many games. The last time we played Hunter 5e, had a pre-gen, and we had a lot of fun. This time, I'm going to make my own character, so I'm very excited for that, to get to delve into the game a little bit and see how the nuts and bolts work, but it seems like it's going to be a fun night. Lastly, we got the ladies group, which continues to plug along in the Hole in the Oak dungeon. They are, this time, for sure going to finish it at the end of this session, I'm convinced. It really blows my mind about how such a small module has provided so many hours of gameplay. And they have really been enjoying themselves, and I've really been enjoying myself. And Shadow Dark has been working great. There's only a few modifications that I've had to do, but really, it works perfectly. Highly recommended if you're ever looking for some fun dungeon crawling. Maybe you want to run it with Shadow Dark too. News. Next week, coming up, I have, dropping on Monday, an interview with Rob Conley of the Bat in the Attic Games about his upcoming Kickstarter, so you guys stay tuned for that, listen in. The Kickstarter will have started already, but you will have plenty of time to back it. Rob was a super cool dude to talk to and get to pick his brain about building sandboxes. Not the kind with actual sand in it, but the gaming kind. And if you don't know what a sandbox is, well, tune in and listen to that episode, because I swear, your brain will be downloaded with the knowledge. Rob is a very knowledgeable dude. He spent a lot of time in this hobby, and he has a lot of experience running those kinds of games. I also asked him a bunch of stuff about, you know, how to game master that stuff. We had a great conversation, and I hope to talk to him again, because he was, again, one of those very passionate people that could talk forever about something they love. And honestly, I love those kinds of people. I love the people who are so invested in the hobby. They make my job as an interviewer so much easier. I just gotta sit back and listen to them. And then, by default, you get to listen to them. And it's a win-win for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Lastly, before we move on to the Mimic Mailbox, I just want to say I feel like perhaps I was a little bit too ambitious. Perhaps putting out two episodes a week was a little bit of a bad idea. I'm not 100% convinced, but I'm going to go back to a once-a-week schedule. I'm probably going to alternate interviews with regular episodes like this one, so that way we get a nice kind of balance going. All right, I feel like maybe I'm inundating you guys with a little bit too much. There's only so much plunger that we can all handle. You know what I'm saying? That's the plan for the future. So this will be the last double week in terms of what kind of podcast you're getting. And from now on, you will get a podcast every Monday starting next week. All right, next up, we're going to move into the Mimic Mailbox. I got one call. I cleared out all the calls from the last one, expecting to get inundated again with a whack full of calls. But I guess y'all thought, like, oh, Jason's getting so many calls. He doesn't need us to call or write in. He thinks he's so special. Well, guess what? I'm not special, and I need you. I need you to call me, and so we can have that dialogue, that connection. Do you follow me? Do you feel me? Without further ado, let's hit that brand new stinger for the Mimic Mailbox and listen to what Hayden had to say.
Special delivery! I hate delivering to this place.
Hey, Jason. It's Hayden. So I've been listening to your call of Palooza and being super boring, by the way. It doesn't even get more boring. Not only am I listening to your podcast while driving, I'm listening to your podcast while driving through Saskatchewan. You know, the province, easy to draw, hard to spell. But I'm realizing that I have a bit of an intellectual blind spot, we'll call it. It's a lot more polite than saying I'm dumb when it comes to the difference between a crunchy rule set and, I assume, the other one would be smooth. I think I've kind of picked it up from inferences and just context clues. But if you could provide me with a definition of that, that would be great. Keep up the great work. I really look forward to both the interview podcast and the regular podcast. I really do enjoy listening to them. So keep it up and keep those elbows nice and high.
Ah, yes. The Great Plains of Saskatchewan. Honestly, a lot of people say that Manitoba is probably the most boring place in Canada. And they wouldn't be wrong. Except they would be wrong because Saskatchewan is definitely worse than Manitoba. I mean, Manitoba is the Keystone Province. Once upon a time, history lesson, it was known as the Postage Stamp Province. You didn't come here for a history lesson. You came here to listen to me jibber-jabber. Not just jibber-jabber about anything in particular, but jabber about role-playing games. First of all, thank you very much for calling, Hayden. It's always a pleasure to hear from you, my friend. And I'm about to enlighten your brain. I am about to give you so much knowledge that you don't even know what to do with all that knowledge. So your question was, what's the definition of a crunchy versus a smooth rule set? I'm not gonna lie, you made me laugh. Because I don't think I've ever heard the opposite of what a crunchy rule system is. Let's get down to brass tacks, shall we? A crunchy rule system is a rule system that is very heavy with mechanics. So there's a lot of game rules that are involved in the game. Hence, crunchy. We kind of got to distinguish the difference between what fluff is and what crunch is. Fluff is what most gamers would call the term for the lore of a game. So if a game setting has information about the history, about factions, about NPCs, those would be considered to be lore, and that would be fluff. And I don't really like that term, because I feel like you're giving short shrift to that particular type of material. In fact, I was listening recently to another podcast, and I believe it was Anthony from Casting Shadows, who was saying that he felt like lore books, so the fluff, is the more valuable resource to him because he can take that and use it as is or subvert it and provide real good texture to his game. But we're not talking about that right now. What we're talking about is crunch. Now, crunch is what we're calling rules mechanics. There's not really a smooth version of rules. Usually we have rules heavy or rules light. A game like Pathfinder, especially first edition, or Dungeons & Dragons 3rd edition, that would be considered to be a very crunchy, very heavy, rules heavy game, all right? Versus a game, for instance, usually found in the old school D&D, so like Swords and Wizardry, OD&D, so original Dungeons & Dragons, even advanced Dungeons & Dragons, although I'm probably going to get some hate for saying that, okay? And you know what? That's cool, bro. I'm down for it. You feel like AD&D is super crunchy? You come at me, bro. We'll talk about it, okay? I'm talking to you, Connerly. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I'm getting off topic here again. So yeah, usually something like, many people would probably say that something like Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition is probably like a medium crunch. It's basically, it's not, you know, super rules light, but it's not as heavy as something like Pathfinder, or as some would call it, Mathfinder. And you know, those people who call it Mathfinder, I will fight you, okay? I need some solidarity here from my Pathfinder people, all right? So you hit me up in the defense of the Pathfinder. Oh, I'm getting all emotional on this one. Bottom line, crunch. Rules, crunchy games, very rules heavy, less crunchy games, not so rules heavy. That's probably the best, easiest definition that I can give. And if you think that you know what rules crunch is, or a crunchy game versus a smooth game is, then you hit me up and we'll talk about it. We'll discuss it like gentlemen, like scholars, like old world sages. debating the merits, the flaws, and, you know, quite frankly, anything else that might come up. Maybe we'll talk about other things, like Magic: The Gathering. Now, that could be considered to be a rules crunchy game, but that's a topic for a different show, for a different podcast. Because this isn't a Magic: The Gathering podcast. This is a Beepin' Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Oh, by the way, I had comments from some people who were like, "Bruh, why are you talking about Dungeons & Dragons and class-based systems?" And, I mean, I don't know. Why not talk about class-based systems and Dungeons & Dragons? I mean, it's been working for 50 years, brah. You know? If you don't like it, then don't play it. It's cool. No one's gonna come to your house and arrest you because you decided that you're gonna play your favorite version of the rules. Alright? You just do what makes your fingers tingle, as my friend Shay Webster would say. Alright? So I hope that answered your question, Hayden. Thank you so much for calling in. Y'all better call in. I want letters. I want faxes. I want emails. I want smoke signals. Okay? All right. Glad that got through. Now, let's move on to the main topic. And you guessed it. We got another juicy stinger from Reed Reimer of Fable Factory Studios to tingle your eardrums.
The name of this week's topic is,
"Hey Loser, why do you waste your time playing role-playing games? Don't you have a freaking life?"
Honestly, I don't have a title for this week's show, but that's kind of where it starts, alright? Also, I mean, damn! Do you hear that stinger? Do you hear it? It's freaking awesome. Reed, I love you, buddy. Thank you for bringing music into my life. This week's topic is inspired by a TED Talk that I saw that was presented March 2025 by a lady known as Amy McNee that was done in Manchester, England. I've never been to Manchester, but I hear it's nice this time of year. Actually, I have no idea. Anyway, let's bring this story back, way back, to the Christmas break of December 2024. During that time, I did two interviews. This was before I was the dungeon plunger and put on the mask. The first one I did was with Che Webster of Roleplay Rescue, and then the second was with Carl Rodriguez, who I still believe is related to Robert Rodriguez of action cinema fame. Anyway, he hosts the GMologist Presents. These two podcasters, after having me graciously on their show, encouraged me to start a podcast of my own. And so I began a journey to do just that. My very first episode, the Dungeon Plunger podcast, came out on February 11th of 2025. And I've been plugging away at it ever since. In some ways, it's a miracle that this podcast happened at all, because as many, many of us know, the world became a radically different place on January 20th, 2025. And it's been a roller coaster ride ever since then. This isn't a political show, but I am proud of my Canadian heritage and the beauty of democracy. And you know what? In the free world, you can believe whatever you want. And, you know, just take what I'm saying with a grain of salt. But the reality is that things felt so crazy that role-playing and podcasting kind of became unimportant to me. I had gone from my world being the status quo to being so shaken that I could no longer enjoy the things that I loved. At the end of the day, you know, we all gotta pay them bills, we gotta support our family, go to school, or fulfill whatever those responsibilities are that we have in life. But I firmly believe that we all need to take the time for ourselves and indulge that creative side of us. I feel like having a balance between our real-life responsibilities and taking time for yourself is important. And that, for many of us, that involves being creative. Whether that's playing role-playing games, writing your next adventure or campaign, or even creating your own rule system. But during this tumultuous time, I felt like none of that stuff was important. Like, I should be focusing my time and energy on something much, much more serious. I remember one time, when I was much younger, my father-in-law had made a comment about why I spend so much time on escapism. And I'm not gonna lie, that stung. It definitely made me feel like I had been wasting a lot of my time and money on something that I love so dearly. I felt ashamed. I felt like maybe I needed to put away these childhood ideals. But I really love this hobby. I love collecting, I love playing, and especially I love hanging out and chatting with like-minded people. In many ways, it's through RPGs that I really feel like I can connect with people. I may seem like I'm a super outgoing person, but deep inside, I really am an introvert that enjoys being alone. The reality is I think that we all need human connection, and that role-playing games are how we can get that connection. I've spent a lot of time thinking about why we play role-playing games. Why do I have this need to play role-playing games? Why do I spend so much time, energy, and money on role-playing games? I know my wife asks that question all the time. Every time a new book comes in from the mail, how much did that cost, Jay? Oh, don't worry. It wasn't that much. But you know what? You and I all know it was probably more than it needed to be. So when I watched Amy McNee discuss on her TED Talk, entitled A Case for Making Art, my mind exploded. I felt, yes, this a million times. McNee's argument is that we need to make art, and that through this act of creating, we can extinguish the fires that are literally and figuratively burning our world down around us. However, my one caveat to this would be that, and even she sort of says it, is that in lieu of making art, I would say that we need to partake in the creative act of play that is RPGs and what they provide. In a 15-minute YouTube video, McNee argues that even the act of writing erotica featuring fairies and the like has more power than we think, despite the seriousness of the issues that we face today. Like my father-in-law that disparaged my need for escapism, she states that we live in a culture that sidelines the creative act, that somehow to partake in the act of creativity is selfish and a waste of time, only suitable for children or those who are no longer productive members of society. Damn, man, I felt that. I felt that. How many times have I sat there with a book and felt like, why am I spending my time doing this? I should probably be doing something else. I should be doing something productive with my life and not playing games. You can't see it right now, but I'm doing quotation marks. Air quotation marks, to be specific. McNee goes on to say that because of this belief, we shut that part of ourselves down and deny the impulse to do the thing that is crying out from within us to be let free. One of the poignant messages that she tries to get across is that we are all artists, even and especially those of us who do not believe in ourselves, because we're just not that good. There's other people out there that do it better. That's not the point. The point is that we are creative. We have that creativity in us, and we shouldn't be making a comparison to others' art with our own need to do art, to be creative. She says, we are all creative. We just need to give ourselves the permission to do it. Stop comparing ourselves, embrace who we are, and then carry on with our own life journey being creative. I almost felt as if she was talking directly to me when she says being creative can be as simple as creating a YouTube channel where you talk about your favorite Pokemon cards. I don't play Pokemon. I don't disparage anybody who does play Pokemon. I do believe 100% that Pokemon is the gateway drug. It is the pot smoking drug that's gonna get you into the hard stuff. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be mainline D&D before you even know it. McNee is definitely speaking to us nerds who love RPGs. Our hobby is art. In her words, art is anything we do where we create something with the intention to connect. Damn, that's what I'm talking about. I love RPGs because it gives me an opportunity to connect to the other people who have probably gone through many of the same experiences that I have had in life, who have felt like they've been put on the sidelines, who somehow they're not worthy, to just be able to be with someone who shares a love for something that you love. And so one of McNee's first arguments is creativity is the missing pillar of self-development. Well, that sounds pretty legit. I mean, I don't really know much about science and all that kind of stuff. But according to her, she says that there's studies that show that play affects us physiologically and lowers cortisol levels. Not levers. We don't have levers that control our cortisol, but we can get those levels controlled. Like I said, I'm not a scientist. I cannot back up these statements that she makes. But what I can tell you is that the act of running or playing in a game for a few hours takes away the stresses of the outside world. At least it does for me. It gives me a connection to people. I feel bonds of friendship and that they become stronger after I have survived a battle to take an APC from imaginary Soviet soldiers in a post-apocalyptic World War III. And let's hope that stays fictional, guys. Or that sense of having the exhilaration of a successful mission on a data steal from an Arisaka research lab. The second thing that McNee states, and I quote, "Making art gives you agency in a world where we have little control. Creativity is our power to enact change. Artists bring order to the chaos," end quote. Bro, artists bring order to the chaos. In the early days of this new world that we're living in, it seemed that I felt powerless. I felt frustrated. Why is this shit happening? Suddenly, the relationship between Canada and the United States and even the rest of the world had been upended in a way that I do not think that anybody could have ever been prepared for. Absolute chaos. It felt to me as if there was so much injustice happening. There was nothing that I could do to stop it. But an interesting thing happened. As I continued to play my Pirates of Drynax campaign, I began creating scenarios that allowed me to address some of the situations and that my players were able to enact their own justice, however fictional it might be. It was cathartic, and it gave me an avenue, and I'm sure my players, a way to vent real-world frustrations. This sense of creative freedom brought order to the chaos that I felt. It brought agency to me and my players. McNee goes on to say that this act is also a rebellious one, in which we can reclaim our attention from the media and take time for ourselves to fight against the consumerism that plagues our lives and allows us to create our own stuff. Okay, so I'm not gonna lie, that point hurt a little bit, because how much money have I spent on RPG stuff that could have just been made by myself? Realistically, how many books do I really need? And I mean, ultimately, I have become more mindful of what I buy, and I suggest that to others as well, but I'm not here to tell you what to do with your life. Just with the core book of a given system, you have more than enough to create a lifetime of adventures for you and your friends. You have time to break away from the media. I spent hours in those days and weeks that followed, constantly on YouTube, constantly on news sites, wondering what the fuck is going to happen next. How can things get any more chaotic? And so role-playing gave me an opportunity to break away from that. The fact of the matter is the experiences we share at the table impact everyone around it, and perhaps even beyond. We take those experiences, and they may change the way we think and perceive the world. The good times that are had can bring joy, and they can armor us during the hard times. And how we behave will rub off on others. Even the goofiest of experiences shared can be something that may bring a smile years later. Our creativity, the act of playing role-playing games, will leave an indelible mark. So it's easy to write off that our silly elf games don't have an impact. But that one night of gaming could be the thing that helps someone get through the hardships that they are currently going through. Our games don't need to be special to be impactful. They just need to be. You just need to dare to take the leap and spread your wings of creativity, and before you know it, you will be soaring. So be creative. Make art. Make a character for your D&D campaign. Bust out that RPG that you've always wanted to play and take the time to learn it and run a one-shot or even create an entire campaign. Role-playing games are important. It's not a waste of your time. It's not frivolous. Pick up those dice, print off a new character sheet, and most of all, play. That's all for this week, folks. Music and stingers by Reed Reimer of Fable Factory Studio. Cover art by John McNally. And a special thanks to Edward Vallee, the voice of Hector.
Greetings, listener. This is I, Hector, the real Dungeon Plunger. Not that milk drinker Jason. We in the dungeon always appreciate whatever love you can give us. So please, share the podcast, send your messages, and do anything that will unclog our algorithm. We really appreciate it. Plungers up!
And remember, when you're plunging in the dungeon and nature calls, watch out for mimics disguised as toilets. They're a pain in the butt.